songs, we got through them. They were all, you know, they were all much needed, and, you know, that's all right, you know. Doesn't matter if you have a froggy voice, good voice, or a tweety voice, it's the heart. You know, God hears your heart, singing melody into your hearts, you know. That's what God, you know, focuses on. It's always, you know, the simple things that God focuses on. You might not get 100%, you might get an 89 on the test, but guess what? You studied your tail off. God rewards effort. He rewards effort. It's better the one who scores an 89 on the test he studied all night long for than the one who didn't study at all and got a better score. Because you didn't put any effort into it. There's a lot of things that we do that requires effort. And today we're going to be talking about effort, but the quality of our efforts when it involves prayer. If you did not know this, prayer is the most powerful weapon on earth. There is no weapon that can stop prayer. They can take prayer out of school. They can't take prayer out of you. Just because school stopped praying doesn't mean you stop praying. The good thing about prayer is, you know, the Bible commands us not to stop praying. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. It means this is a constant thing. We need to be always praying. But who's hearing us? That's the question. We could be praying all day long, but who's actually hearing us? There is a certain condition. Our minds and hearts, attitudes and motives must be in when we're praying. All right, there is an, I'm not saying there's an art to it, because actually the Holy Spirit is the one who intercedes our prayers and makes sure that they are heard. But at the same time, if the heart is not right, the motives are not pure, there's a good chance our prayers may not be heard. And those, when you come to God, you must believe that He's going to answer your prayer even before you pray. Now, the best way to pray, or the good time to pray, is when things are going good in your life, not when things are going bad. Because when you only pray to God when things are going bad, you're begging. You're not asking. You put yourself in a situation that you didn't pray for. But at the same time, you didn't pray before you got in the situation. God wants us to pray when things are going good. Keep a good strike, you know, tight grip on Him when things are going good. So that way when things go bad in your life, or things may not turn out the way you want, you don't have to go anywhere. All you gotta do is hold on a little tighter. But when you gotta chase God, or not chase God, but when you have to, you know, do this begging. You know, me being a father, I got teenagers. The last thing I ever want them to do is beg. I can't stand it when they beg. Because they do it over and over, thinking it's going to help. Only thing it does is make it worse. Okay, so kids in the audience, don't beg. Ask one time. And if you don't get what you want, that one time, it's enough. Okay, if you didn't know this, I'm going to give y'all a little tip. Don't ask for stuff. Just do the right thing. And your parents are going to give you what you want without asking. Isn't that what God does? He gives us what we want and need before we ask. And then He gives us more when we don't ask. How about that? But it doesn't mean He doesn't want us to ask. All right? Our purpose, or God's purpose, may be thwarted or may be accomplished depending on or degree to one to another on our obedience of His people and our willingness to use the weapons of spiritual warfare that He has provided for us. God is powerful enough to win any battle, but He has designed things so that The release of his power at a given moment in time is often contingent upon our decisions and the actions of his people. The principal weapon of spiritual warfare is prayer. It's not just a routine or mediocre prayer, but prayer is sincere enough to move God's hand in your favor. All right? Let's go to Psalms 107. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Psalm 107. I don't know why I say Psalms. I always do that. Psalm 107. 28 through 30. Alright. It says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven." That was Psalm 107, 28 through 30. All right. It says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Now, sometimes there's no way to avoid trouble. Sometimes there's no way. But we need to be wise enough to avoid trouble at all times. Galatians tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil. So sometimes when we're praying for things, we may be praying ourselves out of a situation that we shouldn't have put ourselves in. At that time, God may let you just go through that situation. So you'll learn. Don't come to me with these kind of requests. I'm here for you. But sometimes the best thing to do is to not answer that prayer. And just pray that you'll get through it the best way you can. And I will be with you. Now, to ask God to bail you out of things, does that help you? No. She even said, no, it doesn't. Okay, when you're always getting bailed out, guess what that does? After you get bailed out so many times, you learn that God will bail you out. So let me try to flirt with this a little more. So let me see how deep I can really get in. So that way, when I'm really at my back's against the wall, all I gotta do is pray, and God's gonna get me out of that. Well, you wanna be careful. Alright? God is not mocked. A man will sow what he reaps. God wants us to be conscious about it. Alright? Now, some of us think that this may be the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to Matthew 6. We're going to read verses 7 through 13. Now, when I was younger, my grandmother, she was a minister. She still ministers now. She knows the truth. You know, I've taught her the gospel. It was actually at a funeral that I gave my family the gospel. And the name of the sermon was called Life at a Funeral. Instead of celebrating a death, I focus on a new life you can have with God. That's at the funeral. That was very gutsy, but I had to do it. Because there's no greater time to tell your family members the gospel than at a funeral. Because that is the one time where the whole family comes together. So family union, they may not do it. Someone get married, they may not do it. Baby showers, they may not do it. But when someone of the family, especially someone who is renowned, dies in the family, that's the one time you will get everyone together. The one with the bad habits. The one maybe with the drug problem. The one who can't stand this family or another. It could be that one family member that died that cared about everybody. That brings everyone together. And Jesus used that a lot. To bring families, to get people together. When Lazarus died, guess what? Everybody showed up. And he showed them one of his greatest miracles right there. By raising the dead. So that's why I call it life at a funeral. But this is not the Lord's Prayer. But even though he says in verse 9,
All right, we're going to start at verse 7. It says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they have heard, they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need, before you ask him. This then is how you should pray." This is how I was taught to pray when I was a child. This is before I knew any better. But this is what Jesus says: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, this is an awesome model for the disciples and the people at the time to model their prayer after. But if you break the prayer down, all right, a lot of things in this prayer, not a lot of it, but some of it is not applicable to us today. The part that is applicable is the way Jesus opens up his prayer with adoration. And then he says something about supplication. And then he says something about aspiration. That aspiration is something that you want in the future, something you desire for, something you're looking forward to, so you aspire for it. And Jesus is doing that here. But he starts off with adoration. And that's what he says, "Hallowed be thy name." He is humbled, and he is giving God the highest place of honor and of dignity and of glory. "Hallowed be thy name." Your name is higher than anything else. Hallow means you're a humble. I'm your humble servant. "Hallowed be your name," as high as it goes. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That happened. Okay? That happened. "Thy kingdom come." It came. You're listening to it right now. We are that. So you don't ask for something you already have. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That will was done. Alright? When Peter stood up and said, "These men ain't drunk. It is only 9 o'clock. And then he gave them the prophecy. Started with Joel, and then he kept going. He broke it down to them. Okay? "That will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It has happened. Okay? And then he says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Alright? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We have been delivered. All right? There is something greater than you that is in the world. The prince of the world is Satan. But in John, Jesus says, "For I have overcome the world." He's overcome Satan. When he died on the cross, he defeated Satan. All right? When he said in Genesis, "You will crush his head, but he will bruise your heel." Yeah, those stones went at his heel. When they drive those nails, yeah, it went through his heel. But guess what? He was crushed in the head. You cannot recover from that. That represents defeat. So Satan has been defeated. So if you ever thought that was the Lord's Prayer, that was just a model of how you should pray. That's not the Lord's Prayer. A good model is, start off with adoration. Start off how much you appreciate God, how much you love God, where you put God's name, which should be high. It should be number one in your list. If it's not, you got a problem. Then he goes through supplication on how you're thanking God, how maybe this is going, maybe that's going. You know, pray about the growth for the church, okay? And then you want aspirations for what you need. Maybe for your family, maybe for your health, okay? "I want a strong relationship with you. Please strengthen my conscience. Help me to be more humble. Help me, give me the resources that I need to help people. Lord, I need more resources. Lord, my daughter wants to go to this college. Give me the strength so I can study on how to get the things I need to prepare her for college. Lord, forgive me for not having the foresight of what she needs, or what my son needs." You be personal with God. Don't just give them these glimpses of stuff. Be personal and direct to God.
Because when you're that way, it shows that you're confident in talking to him. God is a person, not a human being, but God is a person who wants to hear from you. Think about that. If you do not have a relationship with your kids, what kind of relationship do they have with you? If you do not talk to them when things are difficult, how do you think they're going to talk to you when things are good? When things are going good, it's easy to talk to them because things are all right. There's no conflict. There's no friction. There's nothing to cause it to go ill. What happens when that time does come? All right? It shouldn't be a one-sided way. When you relationship with someone and when things are good, everything's great. And then when the rubber meets the road, that person needs to still be there. You know, tough times don't last. Tough people do. That's the truth. Tough people last through those times. So our prayer needs to be contrite. Now, I'm going to show you what the real Lord's Prayer is. I don't have time to go through all of it. But I'll read John 17, all right, verses 6 down to verse 17. Okay? This is the Lord's Prayer. Actually, the whole chapter 17, that's the true Lord's Prayer. Okay? But Jesus is pouring his heart out to the Father, and he's breaking things down. And this is how he's really showing him how to pray. All right? Really showing him how to pray. When you pray, when you really start praying, you're going to start getting emotional. You're going to start getting emotional. It says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You have gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them your words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the doomed and destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them, that my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That is a prayer. He is not praying for himself. Now, in the beginning, he prays for himself. And then he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for all future believers. So he did the exact same thing. But this time he expounded on it so much more. In the beginning, he did his adoration. Not only for his Father, but also with himself. And then he did his supplications about the world. As in, don't take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. That's supplication. And then he does the aspiration. In verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who believe me through their message. This is the aspirations for those in the future. All right? But the reason why Jesus has so much confidence in his prayer Because he knows it's going to be heard. You have to know that your prayer is going to be heard. That chooses the attitude with it. Now, when I was younger and I was praying for something, for my mom to get me something, I did it most of the time after I know I got good grades. Now, you can't do this when you got bad grades, all right? If you got 4 C's, a D, a F, and 2 B's, don't be asking for no new bike. Don't be asking for no scooter or go see the movies or go spend a night at your friend's house. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Best thing to do is put your head down, do your work, and don't expect anything. With that attitude, your parents are going to give you everything because you didn't ask for it. The best gifts are the ones that wasn't asked for. That's why surprises are so great, because you wasn't expecting it. This morning, my wife put a card in my car when I was driving. When I got in the car, I saw it in the garage. I was like, wow, that made me feel real special. Because we weren't arguing before I got here, but we were talking, and it wasn't heated or nothing, but we were just joking to one another. And I said, okay, Jackie, I'm leaving. All right, bye. I'm like, dang, all right. But when I got in the car, she had this card. She was playing with me the whole time. That's the best type of surprises, those small things like that. And God does this. He does these things for us all the time. Is he looking for a special treatment? No. He just wants you to acknowledge that he's there for you through everything. God can be closer to you than you can with your spouse. But guess what? That helps you get closer to your spouse. The strong relationship you have with God, the strong relationship you can have with your spouse. That's the way God designed it. You strengthen your relationship with God, you will strengthen your relationship with your spouse. Now, sometimes it will do the opposite. The stronger relationship you got with God, it can draw you away or draw them away from you. But it's only because your belief in God is so strong, they don't know how to take it. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. They can't fake it for so long. Because when you start doing better, when your joy is so much, it becomes contagious, and they're going to want to be part of it. They're going to want to be part of it. That's the way God designed it. God wants us to be happy. All right? But there's a condition. There's a condition. You can't come to God just because. So that was, I gave y'all the good stuff. I got to give y'all the other stuff. Let's go to Isaiah 59. And then we're going to go to James chapter 5. Alright? Isaiah 59. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Isaiah, he cannot not tell it like it is. Alright? I'm reading this from the Living Bible. This is what it says. Listen now. The Lord isn't too weak to save you. And he isn't getting deaf. So God can hear pretty good. He can hear you when you call. But the trouble is your sins has cut you off from God. Because of sin, he has turned his way from hearing you, and he will not listen anymore. For your hands are those of murderers, and your fingers are filthy with sin. You lie and grumble, and oppose the good. So when you come to God and your prayer is not being answered, there's a good reason. And you can't put expiration date on God, saying, Lord, I got this bill and it needs to be paid, and I don't know what to do. Lord, please help me. That's not the way things work. Now, the Lord may help you by having someone that can help you take care of that bill. Okay? When that bill may be taken care of, this is what you got to think, though. Okay? God wants us to be very smart with the resources that we have. What did I do put myself in a situation to where I got to ask someone else to help me with a bill. What did I spend? What was I not responsible with? What happened to me? All right? These are things we need to ask ourselves. Now, some of the stuff, like I said, we did not do to ourselves. All right? Now, here's some things that some people pray for. Okay? My health isn't getting any better. Are my affairs right with God? My prayer life with God is going good, but my spouse will not pray with me. What is the source of my strength? If the source of your strength is contingent on how good things are in your life, you got a big problem. The source of your strength should be contingent on your obedience to God's word, not the position you are in life. That doesn't make us anything. That doesn't make us anything. Now, let me give you one more account. Let's go to James chapter 5. We're going to read 14 through 16. James put things in perspective for us, and it's helped us make sense. James 5, we're going to read 14 and 15. Make something known here. When you pray, don't promise stuff. Don't say, Lord, if you help me out of this, I promise I will do this and do that. Do not do that. You are human. The best thing you can say is I will do the best I can. We make promises and we don't keep them. As I said before, God is not mocked. Only one that can make promises is God. Because he cannot go against his will. You can. You can say things that go against your will. God cannot. So do not swear. In verse 12 it says, above all, my brothers, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. Jesus said the same thing when he's talking about alms. Alright, giving alms. He said the same thing. So he's just quoting what Jesus said. Well, that is his brother. So he listened to his brother and he learned. Alright, verse 13. Is there anyone of you in trouble? He's not being sarcastic, but he's making the point. Are any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered with faith will make the sick person well. The Lord raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, there is a reason why some congregations don't grow the way it should. Yeah, we are praying daily, but we could be praying for the wrong thing. Don't just pray for yourself so much. Pray literally for your neighbor next door. That's why in the prayer I was saying about the president, about our government, okay? About our school systems. We are the ones praying. We are the church. We can make a huge difference by us praying. We don't ever have to meet the president for him to change this or change that. We don't ever have to do that. God can reach things out where no one else can. Pray for your kids, for your cousins. Pray for help, but you need to be confident. You don't need to doubt. God does not hear doubters. He does not hear sinners.
He does not hear those who are disobedient, and he does not hear those who are selfish. If you are selfish, pray that God will grant you the wisdom to be less selfish. If you are a horrible listener, pray that God will give you the strength to be a better listener. Whatever you are weak in, pray that God will strengthen those things so you will not be that anymore. But it's going to take action. Prayer without action and faith is useless. There's no reason. You cannot pray and not take action. It's patience. Action and patience. What is patience? Patience is working while waiting for the result. Patience is not waiting for the result while you wait. Working on the result while you wait. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. It requires patience and it requires action. You have to act on things. You can't pray to God for something and remain the same way. If God is going to move his hand in your favor, you have to move a hand. It doesn't work the one way. You have to do something. I want to quit some. I want to start some. Well, the first thing you got to do is change the habits that got you in this habit in the first place. By changing the environment around you. But you got to change things around you to adopt that. First, it starts off with a habit, and then it becomes natural, and then it becomes a lifestyle. But you got to be willing to give up those things that made you this way in the first place. We can absolutely do it. You can absolutely do it. It's all requires is the willingness. That's it. But we can't pray for God to fix our problems if we're not willing to stand on God when things are not going in our favor. If you asking for patience, that's what God's going to do. He's going to bring someone in your life that's going to test your patience. That's what he's going to do. Lord, please bless me with a better job. Or what you're really asking for is more responsibility. Are you willing to be responsible with the more money God's asking you? Lord, please bless me with a bigger house. Do you live in a house now? How is that house? Do you live in an apartment? How do you treat that apartment? Why would I bless you with a bigger house when you can't take care of your apartment? Lord, please bless me with whatever that is. Look at where you are first. Those who are blessed with little and responsible little will be blessed with more. But if you can't handle the little you got, God is not going to give you more because that's what you want. God is on a need basis first, and then he gives you what you want. But the most important thing he wants with you is a relationship with you. Forget all the stuff you may get. Do you know me, really? What do you know about me? What do I know about you? It's you discovering God. It's not the other way around. It's you discovering him. When you search for him with all your heart, he will be found of you because he did not know you. With the 10 virgins, they knocked on the door. The ones who had their oil, they're already inside. The ones who came late knocked on the door. Lord, open the door unto us. I know you not. Because if I had known you, you'd have been prepared. Sorry. I will confess to them. I never knew you. Depart from me, those who work in iniquity. Do you know how just blunt and cut that is? It's like it's like all the lights have been turned off and you can't see anything now. When Jesus says, depart from me, Jesus is light. When he says, depart from me, everything goes dark. And you can't see your way out of nothing now. You don't ever want to be in that state. But the only way to prevent yourself from being in that state is you having a relationship with the Father. That's the only way. If there's anyone today who wants to establish their relationship with God, there is only one way to get that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If there were not so, I would have told you. I go to a place. And if I go to a place where I am, you will be also. And they asked the way. And he gave them the way. And after that, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. How long have I been here with you? How long while I suffer you? I told you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you're still asking me, show us the Father. Don't you know if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he was very upset with them because of their lack of faith. God does not want us to be him. He does not want that to be us today. Jesus did die on that cross. Those nails did go through his hands and feet. That happened. There is scientific proof. There is medical proof. And we have proof here. That happened. So there's no doubt that we should believe that Jesus did die on the cross. He did. And he left a way for us to get back to him. The first thing you need to do is hear. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then you must believe. Then you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder of those who diligently, means with all your heart, you have to really want this, to believe him in order for that to be true. And then you must repent. God is not slack in his promise as though man counts slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not that any should perish, but all shall come to repentance. God wants to save everybody, but he knows not everyone is willing to be saved because they're not willing to give up themselves for God. They rather still be themselves, and they still want God. It doesn't work that way. God wants to give you a new body, a new mind, a new you. You belong to him now. You don't belong to you. Then you must confess. If you confess Jesus before men, he will also confess you before his Father in heaven. But if you deny Christ before men, he will also deny you before his Father in heaven. You must confess and believe that Jesus is the Son of God in public. You got to be willing to confess that. Then you must be baptized. Then they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, brothers, what must we do? And Jesus said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can establish truly a relationship with God. You can talk to him about anything at any time. He will never retire, and he will always listen. He will always hear you if you are obedient to him. Because you have to stay faithful unto death. Those here who want to obey the gospel or want to make their confession known can do that right now as we stand and sing the Savior's Invitation song.